My name is Warren Perry, and I'm a researcher for the Catalog of American Portraits in the National Portrait Gallery. A lot of people believe that Memphis music begins and ends with Elvis Presley, but that's not the case at all. Before Elvis, W.C. Handy put the Memphis Blues on the map, and after Elvis, Memphis became known as a center for hip-hop, other forms of pop. Justin Timberlake is a resident of Collierville, Tennessee. Memphis has more rock and roll star spottings, more soul musician star spottings, maybe than any city in the nation except Los Angeles, New York. And a lot of musicians across the board, of course, also spend some time in Nashville, Tennessee. Memphis music history isn't just the history of Elvis and the Sun Studio, which is all by itself an amazing history. Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, all these guys coming out of the Sun Studio in the 1950s form the cornerstone of modern rock and roll. But after the Sun Studio, the Stax Studio in Memphis, on a given day, had the likes of Otis Redding and the Barquets, Carla and Rufus Thomas, Isaac Hayes, David Porter. Stax Studio produced sound that Memphis to this day is known for.
So let's talk about the portrait featured in this blog post, the portrait of Elvis by Ralph Wolf Cowan. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you a few things about Ralph Wolf Cowan. What a terribly interesting man. Ralph Wolf Cowan has painted more reigning heads of state, more reigning sovereigns than any portrait painter in history, which is kind of an interesting fact. Why? Well, first of all, because he lives in the jet age, and so he can go from place to place. Secondly, back in the day, a court painter stayed at the same court. Ralph Wolf Cowan has painted the Sultan of Brunei. He's painted Princess Grace. His work is all over the world and in the National Portrait Gallery. Our portrait of Elvis is one that he began drafting back in the 1970s, and it's almost an allegorical look at Elvis. It has kind of a Gone with the Wind feel about it. It's this ideal Elvis, the handsome American-looking, almost gunfighter, Western-looking character with the big clouds in the background and the rolling land behind him. It's a very dramatic work, and I think that when all is said and done with respect to this work, one of the things that you have to acknowledge is the scale of it. It's very bold, it's very bright, and also, it's very handsome. When we see Elvis in this work, we're not seeing the Elvis that was in concert in 1975, 1976, the Elvis in poor health. We're seeing Elvis about the time of his, as they say, the 1968 comeback special, one of the greatest moments in television history. And that's the look, that's that iconic Elvis that America and the world loves.
So let's go back to Memphis. Why did this all happen in Memphis in terms of the music explosion and the sound of Memphis?
Music historians talk about Memphis as being a place of influence because it's at the crossroads of so many different styles of music. Nashville has the heart of country music beating inside it. Memphis, however, has the blues coming up from the Delta. And some people say, and this is a little bit oversimplified, but some people will say, well, you've got rock and roll, you've got the blues on one half of the rock equation, you've got country on the other. By the time Sam Phillips was operating the Sun Studio in the 1950s, and looking for that special combination to put something new out, a sound that no one had put out before, he had enough black musicians, enough white musicians in his arsenal, and a good enough ear to pick out what he believed to be was the moment and was the sound. In the voice of Elvis, he found that sound. And when Elvis came into his studio and recorded That's All Right, Mama, for some reason or another, that combination really took. Sam Phillips knew it, and over the next few years, he exploited that sound hugely, and Memphis became the birthplace of rock and roll.
Well, how about Isaac Hayes? You talk about him a little bit in this blog post. You are actually in Memphis about a week ago and took those photos. Can you say anything about Isaac Hayes and his story of coming up in Memphis?
Yeah, I actually have a couple of good Memphis stories. I did want to say my wife took those photos outside the Sun studio. However, I have two interesting stories about automobiles, Elvis, and Isaac Hayes. The first is, it takes place when I was, I think, about 12 years old, and I was leaving this football game with an uncle. I run out into the traffic and almost get hit by this limousine. The driver of the limo puts his head out the window. He says, "Are you okay?" And then there's this guy in the back of the limo, and in this booming stentorian voice, he says to me, "Are you okay, boy?" And I said, "Yeah." And they drove away. So my uncle, who's with me, he said, "Man, do you know who that was? You should have let him hit you. That was Isaac Hayes." That's one story of someone in my family almost getting hit by a Memphis musician. The second story, my mother was in a supermarket one night, and she was at the cash register, and a bunch of ladies were screaming, and this is probably 1973, 1974, a bunch of ladies are inside the supermarket screaming that Elvis was driving around in one of his Stutz Blackhawks in the parking lot. Well, my mother got the lady behind the register to check her out quickly, and then my mother pushed her basket out into the parking lot, and she pushed it right in front of Elvis's Stutz Blackhawk. And Elvis stuck his head out the door and said, "Are you okay, lady?" So I guess my people really need to be a little more careful in parking lots and places where people are driving cars.
So anything else you want to talk about with Memphis and Memphis music or Elvis or Isaac Hayes?
Well, for the record, anytime you ever go out in Memphis, your chances are always pretty good of spotting someone. And one of the coolest things I ever saw was Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top having a hamburger at the big restaurant chain in Memphis. The hamburger chain is called Huey's. And Billy Gibbons was having a hamburger and a beer, and he was surrounded by five girls who dropped off of him like diamonds. And they're all having hamburgers and beer. It was just one of the cool understated spottings.
and his beard? Was he sporting his beard?
He was sporting his beard. It was one of those awesome moments of celebrity spotting in Memphis, Tennessee.